You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
Hello and welcome to Viewpoints. My name is Boris Shasai and I'll be with you for the next half hour. On today's show, Google will spend $100 million to compensate Canadian media for lost revenues.
An organization that has two or more full-time journalists, that is a news-based organization, you're part of the pool. And what we have to do is validate what part we're there. So yes, we are going up against pretty much any organization that would qualify.
This after media outlets from across the country appeared in front of the CRTC to voice their concerns around the reform of the Broadcasting Act.
The updated act, as of C-11, describes the importance for minority communities, the importance for LGBTQ2S+ communities, the importance for Indigenous communities, the importance for minority language communities, the importance for Francophone communities. It details everything we do, and not the least of which is the critical role community stations play in viable and immediate local news and information.
Heritage Canada Minister Pascal Saint-Onge.
We need to make sure that our Canadian creators, but also our businesses, have a chance to grow online. And there's new opportunities, but they need to be able to grab them. And modernizing everything that regulates that sector is what's going to give them, I hope, and I truly believe so, a real chance to build their presence online.
This and more on Viewpoints, local news nationwide.
Follow us on Twitter at CanadaLJI. Listen to all our news online at canada-info.ca.
Thanks so much for being with us. Well, Canadian media have been making news in the past weeks. The CRTC has held public consultations to determine what the future media landscape could look like in the coming years by looking at how to implement Bill C-11, the Canadian Broadcasting Act / Online Streaming Act. The act has been passed into law. It's now up to the CRTC to figure out how to apply it. This as Google surprised everybody on Wednesday, November 29, by announcing it will be contributing $100 million per year, indexed to inflation, to compensate Canadian media for lost revenues, complying with Bill C-18, the Online News Act. C-18 is set to come into effect on December 19. The bill is controversial because of the requirement that digital giants like Google and Meta pay news outlets when it redistributes their content. The community radio sector has been keeping a close eye on the negotiations with Meta and Google. That's because the community stations are hoping to be recognized as qualified news organizations and thus potential recipients of funds from the digital giant. So what impact could Google's millions have on the Canadian community radio sector, if any? Will it get its share of the pie? Barry Rook, executive director of the National Campus Radio Association, responds.
Based on all the information that's come out today, based on the fact that the minister in her presentation mentioned radio as part of that process, I'm quite confident that there's something going to be there. Where my question is this large group of people trying to figure out where the fight is, if we're going to be able to be strong enough to have our voice heard in that process. But I am quite happy with the fact that the legislation supports the position that we're in, that we will actually get a decent portion of that. Again, we don't know where that is, and those discussions will have to happen. What I don't believe we're going to see is direct station funding over this process. I believe what's going to have to happen is it's going to have to be built through a training and support sort of project. Whatever that sort of is in the breakdown, that still has to be discussed. But I don't think you're going to be able to see, you know, a check written to each campus or community radio station that's licensed for X number of dollars per year to go towards journalism. Because we know the stations do news and information and spoken word. Most of the stations don't do hard journalism and breaking news, but maybe this is a pool in which we can develop tools and supports to get those stations doing it more than what they currently are. So if an organization, I think regardless of what their platform is, can validate and show that they have two full-time journalists, whether they're a blogger, a social media group, CBC, you know, any of that realm, I think that will, that's where that breakdown is going to end up. And I think that's where we got not lucky, but we did our work to get identified specifically as something else. And that's where I think that this might pay off. Again, an organization that has two or more full-time journalists that is a news-based organization. Or again, yep. Because we got our names in the asterisk that says, or your campus community licensed station or equivalent under the CRTC, you're part of the pool. And what we have to do is validate what part we're there. So yes, we are going up against pretty much any organization that would qualify.
Hi, I'm Ed Halverson in Liverpool, Nova Scotia, and you're listening to Viewpoints.
Meta also released a statement the same day Google announced its agreement with the Canadian government, saying the only way we can reasonably comply with C-18, the Online News Act, is by ending news availability for people in Canada. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said that Facebook is abdicating its responsibility towards democracy. This is all playing out while representatives from the private, public, and community broadcasting sectors appeared before the Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications Commission, CRTC, this time about C-11, reforming the Broadcasting Act, Online Streaming Act. One of the key features of C-11 aims to ensure that online streaming platforms such as Netflix, YouTube, Spotify, TikTok, etc., contribute towards the use of Canadian content and to the creation of that content. The Online Streaming Act is, in effect, the modernization of the Broadcasting Act, which hasn't been updated in more than 30 years. The goal is to strengthen Canada's media sector through a new regulatory framework. Legacy media had many of their own opinions on who should pay and how much. Caroline Paquet, president of Cogeco Media, which owns some 20 radio stations across Quebec, stated during the CRTC hearings that radio is suffocating nothing less due to the strict regulatory framework to which it is subject, while streaming companies escape any constraints. Rogers, the Toronto-based media and telecom company, even suggested that the online streaming giants should be forced to pay 2% of their annual Canadian revenue to support Canadian and Indigenous content. And Jonathan Daniels, Bell Canada's vice president of regulatory law, was quoted on CP24 as saying that traditional broadcasters need relief, and we need it now. Talking about the Broadcasting Act, Online Streaming Act, here's journalist Taylor McClure speaking with Canadian Heritage Minister Pascal Saint-Onge.
People are consuming everything now very much differently than they used to 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the Act never wasn't talking about internet or online streaming, so which means that the revenue is eroded from our own system, but also the capacity for Canadians to know what is being produced here, what's coming from abroad, and have a clearer perspective on what they have access to. So we're trying to change that for many different reasons, but one of them is because the audiovisual sector is an economic driver in mm-hmm. Canada. There's more than 250,000 jobs in Canada that revolve in that sector. It's a great part of our GDP. So we need to make sure that our Canadian creators, but also our businesses, have a chance to grow online. And there's new opportunities, but they need to be able to grab them. And modernizing everything that regulates that sector is what's going to give them, I hope, and I truly believe so, a real chance to build their presence online.
And how is the federal government working with these streaming platforms, you know, to make this happen and to ensure that they really do, you know, work towards supporting the Canadian content media sector and the creativity here in our country?
Well, they've been participating in the legislative process and participating in the consultations, and they also sent us their comments around the policy directives that,
yeah,
you know, really tells the CRTC their boundaries and what they need to think about when they're doing their new regulations. So they participated through that. And, you know, this week we saw the result a little bit of the modernization of that act when we it was announced that Netflix signed a deal with Attraction. So it's a production company here in Quebec, which means that they're going to invest in new productions in Quebec, because they know that they're going to have to comply with new regulations. You know, most platforms like Netflix and Disney and all the others, they understand that to get local subscribers, they also need to have a local identity and local content. So it's a win-win situation for platforms, but also for our in-house creators.
Yes, definitely. And another key feature of this policy is, of course, providing a new regulatory framework to the CRTC, which is the Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications Commission, which is essentially responsible for overseeing the implementation of the Online Streaming Act. Within this Online Streaming Act and within this regulatory framework, there's a lot of focus on bringing minority voices to the forefront of content creation and supporting that participation and creativity. So this includes Indigenous voices, Canada's French language minority, and other racial and ethnic minority groups here in the country. And that was something that really piqued my interest when I was going over the policy. So I was just wondering if you would be willing to comment on that and the importance of, you know, not only supporting content creators in Canada, but the minority voices and bringing them into the realm of creation as well. Why was this such an important focus in this framework?
Well, you know, we modernized the act because of the internet and the platform, but also we modernized it so that it would better reflect what Canada is today. And Canada has become such a diverse and great country, and Indigenous voices are more and more important in this country. We understand that the road to reconciliation also means reviving or helping the revival of Indigenous languages, helping them have their, you know, own creators being able to create, and also so that they're the owners also of their stories and capable to tell them from the beginning to the end.
From their own perspectives.
Exactly. And so that's a big aspect of the modernization of the act, as well as, you know, really reflecting also the reality of official languages in minority situations. So you talked about French language in minority situation outside of Quebec, but here in Quebec, we have a strong English community as well. So the act is there also to make sure that there's proper support for these communities. So, you know, it's a true modernization in the real sense, because it's what Canada is today. And it's important that our broadcasting system and our production reflects that.
Yes.
And that people can recognize themselves, whether it's on the radio or on the television. And that's what makes Canada great.
And, you know, there's also the idea of encouraging, of course, the sustainability of community broadcasters and public service media.
Yeah.
And so I've only been working in the field for a couple of years, you know, the community broadcasting field. But from the various conversations I've had with people who have experience working in this field, you know, these community media organizations often felt like they were left behind or unacknowledged is the word that I could use here, maybe. So why is it important to support these community broadcasters in particular at this time here?
Well, I think that, you know, with the disruption that I was mentioning before, the disruption that the online platforms brought to, for example, the news sector, but also the radio and television sector, I think that a lot of us are recognizing the importance of having strong local presence, whether it's for the news, whether it's for community radio, or, you know, because very often in a lot of areas around Canada, and Canada is a very big country.
Yes, very much so.
So, and very often it's the local community organizations that actually provide the information that the local population need. So it's important to reinforce that. And I know that a lot of people, you know, have felt like, for example, you were talking earlier about the Online News Act or the Online Streaming Act, that it focused a lot on the big legacy companies or the big newspapers, the big news outlets.
But, yeah, beforehand, yes.
Yeah, but the modernization and the regulation really focuses also on community and local organizations because we know how important it is. So the fact that we lost so many, for example, there were more than 500 news outlets that closed in the last decades in Canada from coast, is also helping the realization of the importance of the work that they do and the need to better support them.
Yes, most certainly. And now that this policy direction is officially being implemented here, how do you hope to see things unfold in the future? What are your hopes with this new act? What changes do you hope that it brings about here in our country?
Well, that's a very big question, but I'm an optimistic person. So I would say that I would love to see more journalists being hired. We've seen thousands of journalists lose their jobs in the past decade. I hope that we see a growth in journalism, that we're able to reverse what we've seen in the past decade, and that we can see a growth actually,
and reverse the trend.
Yeah, exactly. Reverse the trend that or at least stabilize what we have, because we know that the media crisis is still ongoing, even though we brought programs and have made efforts to better support. So, creating a proper market where our Canadian businesses and our journalists have a chance to thrive, I think, is what I'm hoping to see.
Hi, I'm Pamela Hassan in Smithers, BC, and you are listening to Viewpoints.
The Community Radio Fund of Canada, which supports more than 200 radio stations across the country, with funding it gets from the federal government and the private sector as well, also made representations in front of the CRTC. The Radio Fund's executive director, Alex Friedman, argued at the CRTC hearings that community radio stations across the country are in desperate need of core funding. He was also interviewed by Taylor McClure about Bill C-11.
There's three big headlines in the general section of the policy direction. And this is directing the CRTC, as it implements C-11, where to move some of the funding that's going to come out of this. Because the fundamental piece of this legislation is that it says commercial radios have been paying into supporting Canadian voices for a very long time. Now, so will digital broadcasters. That means there's going to be, I'm not going to say a lot, but some new money coming into the system. The policy direction says that money, those supports, must go to organizations that are making the maximal contribution to the objectives of the Act. And in that section, it says the three key places are community radio stations. Those people and outfits that promote the Canadian voice and Indigenous voices. Community, campus, and Indigenous radio stations are at the core of that thought. There's still a lot of work between now and what will ultimately come out of this process. So we're going to need to figure out the path, but I think we're headed in the right direction.
And I really wanted to get your perspective on things a little bit, about in terms of this policy. And part of that was learning a little bit about what you think the positive aspects are in this policy that you think will truly benefit the growth of the Canadian media sector here. I'm sure there are key features within this policy that stood out to you that you probably would like to highlight for some of our listeners.
Until C-11 was passed, the Broadcasting Act made one singular mention of community broadcasting, and it said that there are three pillars in the Canadian broadcasting environment. One is public, one is commercial, and the last is community. Other than that, there was nothing in it. Well, the new Act, the updated Act as of C-11, describes the importance for minority communities, the importance for LGBTQ2S+ communities, the importance for Indigenous communities, the importance for minority language communities, the importance for Francophone communities. It details everything we do, and not the least of which is the critical role community stations play in viable and immediate local news and information. that this is now codified in Canada's Broadcasting Act that has not been updated in 30 years is huge. The new policy direction enforcing support for all of these are the objectives of the act that we were speaking about a moment ago, is absolutely vital. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I could go through the policy direction of the act and talk about a lot of areas, but as they recognize that there are a lot of Canadians who are underserved by mainstream and public media, mm-hmm. there's an acknowledgement that that can be corrected by supporting community-based media too. And so I'd like to see, you know, more money in the pot for these initiatives. So this is one of the areas we'll be pushing, and this is definitely an improvement that we can see made to this. But for now, the fact that we're here, the fact that we're part of this conversation, I would say is a major step forward.
Okay, man, it's going. Okay.
Hi, I'm Kareem Mosna in Kingston, Ontario. You are tuned to Viewpoints. Listen to all our stories online at canada-info.ca.
So now we're leaving the broadcasting sector to talk about something entirely different, Toronto's Main Street Recovery and Rebuild Initiative. The MRRI will be receiving $3.3 million in additional funding from the Federal Economic Development Agency for Southern Ontario. The money is aimed at helping nonprofit and small business recover from the impacts of the pandemic. The MRRI was launched in 2021. In the 2 years of the program, the MRRI has funded 325 local projects. Here's Owen Thompson in Toronto.
The MRRI comprises seven sustainable economic recovery projects that the money is split between. They are the Main Street Innovation Fund, Cafe TO Property Improvement Program, the Commercial Space Rehabilitation Grant Program, the Retail Accelerator Program, the Transit Expansion Construction Mitigation Grant Program, Little Jamaica / Eglinton West, and Plaza Pops. In the 2 years of the program, the MRRI has funded 325 local projects, amounting to $9.4 million in funding towards small businesses and nonprofits. The seven projects offer small businesses anywhere from $20,000 to $100,000 in non-repayable funding, depending on what they qualify for. Councillor Shelley Carroll says,
"Today we're so excited to announce that three of our most important MRRI programs are about to open new rounds of applications. The funding will be available soon. Altogether, we'll be providing $3.3 million in funding to business improvement areas, our BIAs, to not-for-profits, and to retail spaces to support small businesses across the City of Toronto. We all know what happens when there's a lot of vacancy on a block. It challenges all those businesses that are still in place and trying to survive. And so this will help that turnover happen more quickly and get another small enterprise up and running."
The money is for nonprofit and small businesses, quote, recovering from impacts of the pandemic. Councillor Alejandra Bravo says,
"Supporting Main Street is really about supporting the real economy. It's where we live. It's what we relied on throughout the pandemic, and we cannot afford to lose a single business in this time. We make up community together. Enabling these kind of creative solutions is really cutting edge."
Applications for this round of funding will be open from December 7th to March 7th. The Main Street Innovation Fund, however, is currently open, or with applications due December 14th. The $3.3 million is being split, with just over half going to nonprofit organizations. The split being $1.9 million for nonprofit and $1.4 million to, quote, support renovations to retail spaces used by small businesses in neighborhoods across Toronto. Kristen Gelfand, the managing director of Uminota Culture, says,
"We're here on Geary Avenue, which is a mixed-use working-class neighborhood that's been home to artists and artistic movements for decades now. In recent years, much as we're seeing across the whole city, spaces for the creation and celebration of art have started to become more rare and become lost here on Geary, which is the need that my colleagues and I identified when we began dreaming up a project for the Main Street Innovation Fund around this time last year. So what we're standing in right now is the Art Vessel. It's a repurposed and renovated shipping container that acts as a gallery and artist studio with ongoing residencies for local artists. And not only did the Main Street Innovation Fund help us in the actual physical creation of the space, but the ongoing artist fees that we pay to residents and for local events.
Hey, I'm Anastasia Avakumova in beautiful British Columbia, and you are tuned to Viewpoints. Follow us on Twitter at CanadaLJI and get all our stories on canada-info.ca.
So we were told that Santa Claus had nothing to do with Google's decision to contribute $100 million to the Canadian media. However, Santa has been involved even from a distance with her program giving out gift cards to seniors in Queens, which is on the southwest shore of Nova Scotia. Ed Halverson has that story for us.
A program supporting seniors over the holidays has met its goal weeks ahead of its deadline. Queen's Santas for Seniors connects people with seniors to provide them with gift cards during this festive season. Anyone can nominate a senior, and seniors can nominate themselves to be put on the list. Organizer Kendra Schott then connects those on her list with people who have signed up to donate. Schott launched this year's program at the start of November, and it didn't take long to have 290 seniors signed up. On November 22nd, she announced every senior had been adopted. Schott decided to set an early deadline to adopt a senior this year after getting down to the wire in 2022.
We went to the week before Christmas. It was like 5 days before Christmas before I got everybody adopted. So this year we got everybody adopted fast.
Schott is extending the deadline and is accepting more seniors through the first week of December. She says she needs to cut it off then to ensure the cards can be delivered before Christmas. Schott says seniors shouldn't be shy about asking to be included.
They're more than welcome to nominate themselves as well. I don't need a complete stranger to nominate you. If you want a little extra anything, just please shoot me a message.
I'm Ed Halverson.
That's it for us at Viewpoints. Thanks to our team of journalists, Owen Thompson, Ed Halverson, Taylor McClure, and their guests. National editors are Maureen McEwen and Victoria Fenner. Viewpoints is produced by the Community Radio Fund of Canada. I'm your host and producer, Boris Chassaigne. It was nice to have you with us this week. Until the next, ciao.
Listen to all our news online at canada-info.ca.